Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 592. It's the 22nd of September, 2016. On the podcast today, I have Neil Ritson, chairman of Solar Oil, ticker S-O-L-O, answering private investor questions. Also answering private investor questions, I have David Roslett, chief technology officer of MySquare, ticker MYSQ. Plus, I have the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. Essentially, it's a measure of money flow, sentiment. What people are following, they're generally researching and probably investing in. So it's worth looking at this list. And it's a new number one. And I've seen quite a bit of chat about this company. Also on the podcast, I have the most liked and disliked RNSs from this morning. And today suggested one for your watch list. Very interesting company, this. I've never heard of them until now. So thank you for Johnny for submitting this. It's Adgorithms, A-D-G-O. And I'll tell you why it's interesting a bit and why Johnny suggests you add it to your watch list.
The Vox Markets podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is Neil Ritson, chairman of Solar Oil, ticker S-O-L-O. Neil, thanks for coming on.
Hi, good morning.
Now, there's a lot of private investors out there who know about you. We've had some submitted questions, which we'll go through in a bit. But for people new to the podcast or new to Solar, Neil, could you give us a roundup as to what Solar is all about, please?
Yeah, I mean, we're a listed portfolio investment company. We work in the oil and gas space, and we always act as a non-operator. So we're looking for investments in high-impact assets with a competent operator, someone who's a real specialist in the areas where they operate. Example is Aminex in Tanzania. We're in a couple of ventures with them. Our current focus is Tanzania and the UK Weald Basin, where we're involved with UK oil and gas. And we've invested so far in six wells. They've all had hydrocarbons, and one's on stream producing gas, and four others we believe are likely to come on as commercial production, including the Horse Hill 1 well in the Weald and the Notoria 1 well that we're going to talk about a lot more about, I think, in Tanzania. And that's the current catalyst for the company, the appraisal of this Notoria gas condensate discovery, where we hold a 25% interest.
Marvellous. And you have other assets as well, or other investments as well, don't you? Is it in America as well?
Yeah, we're in Canada. We have a field in Canada that's currently shut in because the operator has some financial problems. We've also made a seed investment into Nigeria, where we're waiting for awards. Obviously, Nigeria is a bit unstable at the moment, but you know, we've only made a seed investment there. We'll follow up on that when things improve. And then even a very small investment into Morocco, which is, you know, getting a lot more news at the moment. We made that investment about a year ago, and we're following developments there. So, yep, that's the portfolio.
Okay, but the priority at the moment, the focus is basically Horse Hill and Tanzania. Is that correct?
Yeah, that sums it up well.
Okay, let's go to the questions then. So first one, when do you expect Songo Songo to be in production with gas fed permanently from KN1? And also part of that is, what are the next steps required to make this happen?
Yeah, I mean, actually, it is now flowing through. The molecules come out the well, they go through the Songo Songo gas plant, the newly built one. They go into a pipeline which takes them up to Dar es Salaam. That's already happening, so our molecules are going to the market. We haven't finally signed off on commercial production. There are a few further boxes to tick, but essentially that's now a done deal. We're exporting through the plant, through the pipeline, to the market, and being paid for it.
Marvellous. Next question. What range of gas discovery do you hope to find with Notoria 2 drilling?
Yeah, Notoria 2 is obviously the big thing at the moment. We've found about 160 BCF. Now, put that in context, that's four times as big as the one we've just been talking about at Kilawani North. So we've already made a substantial discovery. but we think it could go 10 times that. We're looking for something through appraisal that could be 1.5 TCF. That's gross. We've got a 25% interest, of course. But that's really, you know, company making stuff. And that's the range. If we have a failure at the appraisal, we've still got a commercial discovery of 160 BCF. But we think this can go really big. And the first step, we're stepping out 1.5 kilometers. If that's a success, we're going to take a further step out with Notoria 3. The prize there is very substantial.
Okay. Next question is, how do you plan to fund Notoria 3 drilling if it is to commence soon after completion of Notoria 2?
Right. I mean, we just funded up for Notoria 2. We're fully funded to drill that well. We will create options for Notoria 3. If Notoria 2 is a success, then I think we should expect to keep our 25% interest and ask our shareholders to support that. Obviously, if we're on track of 1.5 TCF discovery, which is already, you know, connectable to the market, you know, we really should get that support. If it's less encouraging, we'll have some back options to dilute our interest already lined up through reducing our 25%, getting carried through that third well. So, you know, we'll protect our shareholders to the downside, but we'll give them full exposure to the upside.
Okay. Next question is, can Neil promise no more share dilution in the future?
Absolutely not. No rational CEO or chairman would ever promise that. Obviously, we're working toward self-funding. We've got revenue coming in from Kilowani now that covers our ongoing costs. But as we want to make investments, if we think those are accretive for our shareholders, and if the best source of funding is equity, you know, we'll offer that out to the market, and it will be dilutive. But on a rising share price, honestly, I think that's the right thing to do.
Yeah. Okay. Next question. Why did we not take up the option of increasing our percentage stake in Aminex? Is the first question there. And it said partly sort of bit above the below that is shareholders would like to have seen the percentage increase and larger income from gas sales. A capital raise, if needed, would have been justified for this, surely.
Well, that's a judgment we took. It's relatively early days at Kilowani North, and we have a 7.1% interest. We forewent a 1.25% rise in that, but we still retain a further 1.5 option to increase, which we do expect to take up. But we wanted to see more track record from the well and from the plant before we exercised further option there. And we were also safeguarding our cash position for Notoria, which, as I've explained, even at the base level is 4 times as big. So a judgment was taken by the board, which I fully support, that we would sit out on that 1% increase and see how things played out. But I am expecting to take up the remaining interest, which will leave us at around about 8%, which is a sweet spot for us. I mean, we're looking to be a portfolio investment company. We don't want to be overweight in things, and we felt that 8 to 8.5% was a good place to be. It would give us the revenue that we were looking for.
Okay. I hope you get your crystal ball there, Neil. It says, where do you expect to see solar oil in 12 months' time, market cap-wise?
Well, the only thing I'll say there is higher than it is today. I mean, every AIM company obviously generally feels it's undervalued. I'm sure we are. And there are catalysts here with Notoria appraisal coming through that will move up the needle. So I'd like to see a short-term target of a penny. I'm sure our shareholders would agree with that.
Yeah. Solo have some great assets. Will the company now focus on developing these before sourcing other opportunities?
Yeah, we always will do that. In a way, that answers the question about taking up the additional interest in the Aminex Kilowani North. you know, we were focusing on getting the appraisal done. It's a big prize. Nevertheless, we'll always look at other opportunities. We continue to filter opportunities, and if something comes along which is, you know, high value with a good operator and highly leveraged to value, then obviously we will take a close look. And indeed, the other way around, if someone makes us an offer to buy something that we have in the portfolio that they value more highly than we do, we'll consider about selling as well. So you should see the portfolio being churned over over a period of time. But yeah, we're very focused on getting Tanzania move forward.
Okay, next question. Assuming NT2 is successful, is the intent of Solar to still farm down Rovuma to 12.5%? If not, what other options are there to fund NT3, NT2 development, Horse Hill and Isle of Wight?
Yeah, I think at some point we will farm down the Rovuma interest. 25% is a large interest. It's not really in our sweet spot, around 10%. But we obviously want to get that to the highest possible value before we do that. So we've decided to fund NT2. We'll have options to fund NT3. For its development, that could be a big ticket, and we may then start to use our 25% to start to fund that. But it'll be off a higher value base than it is today. So that's the way we look at that. And we could consider, as I said earlier, to churn some of our assets to sell something. But there's no plan at the moment to do that. Let's go through this appraisal and see where we end. If we end up with a development, that's a problem to have.
Yeah. Okay, NT2 could be a game changer for Solo. What is the upside and downside of a positive and negative drill result?
Yeah, that's kind of a repeat of some of the earlier questions, yeah. But I'll sum it up. You know, we're looking for a 1.5 TCF gas pool. That is really is game-changing. Your questioner is absolutely right on that. The downside is really that we end up where we are today, which is an absolutely clearly commercial development. It's only 20 kilometers from the pipeline to Dar es Salaam, 160 BCF. We're successfully developing 40 BCF at Kilwani. So, you know, the downside is relatively limited, but really there is a huge upside prize here. And it's an appraisal. This is not wildcatting. This is a 1.5 kilometer step out. We shot new seismic. We can see the channel that we were successfully tested. It looks thicker. Let's go for it.
Yeah. Okay. Last question. Is there any reason why private investors were not able to take part in the last placing? Aminex managed a placing and open offer very well last time. Good for the company and good for the PIs that have kept the company financed.
Yeah, as chairman of the company, I absolutely agree with that, and I'm a shareholder as well. I would like to see an open offer. We discuss that with our Nomad each time we make a placement, and we're certainly planning to get an open offer out there at some stage. I'm 100% behind that question. I think PIs should have the opportunity to come into placements and take advantage of them. So we're working on that. Can't always get the regulator and things lined up for it, but I'm certainly working towards that.
Marvellous. Okay. Well, listen, Neil, if anyone needs any more convincing there as to why someone should add Solar Oil to their watch list on Vox Markets, could you summarise in sort of 3 bullet points, please?
Well, yeah, I think we're actually quite unique on AIM, the offering of a portfolio of closely managed assets selected by oil and gas people is something that no one else, as far as I can see, is offering on AIM. We're clearly undervalued to our asset base at the moment. The portfolio effect gives us protection to, you know, failures. Failures do happen. It also gives us the opportunity to be patient because things sometimes take longer. And the big thing that would get people to put it on their watch list at the moment is this huge catalyst in Natoria 2 appraisal, which is just around the corner. They're preparing the pad. I believe Aminex are shortly going to be signing a rig contract, and that'll be underway within the next few weeks, and we're funded for it.
Marvellous. Neil, thank you very much for coming on, and I look forward to speaking to you in the near future.
Thanks, Justin.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
And joining me on the podcast right now is David Rosselat, Chief Technology Officer at MySquared, MYSQ. Thanks for coming on, David.
Thank you for having me.
I attempted the French pronunciation of your surname. I was probably way off, but I tried anyway, David. So listen, we've had Eric on the podcast a couple of times. We've not had you. Like I said, you are Chief Technology Officer, which is quite an important role, I assume, at MySquared, because you are in the tech space there. So can you explain from your point of view what MySquared is all about, please, David?
Absolutely. So we're we're in a Southeast Asian startup, and we're strictly focused on the Myanmar market. And the space we're in is social entertainment and payments. So we're solely focused on these three areas. We've been doing this for about going on 3 years now. So we started in 2013, and we recently went public on the AIM board, as you know. Mm-hmm. And things are going really swimmingly well so far.
Okay, we've got some private investor questions coming up, David. But before we go through that, like I said, I've had Eric on the podcast before a couple of times. We've not had you. You are Chief Technology Officer. Can you give us a bit of background as yourself, please?
Sure, I'd love to. So, before joining MySquared, I was working at Electronic Arts, which is the second or the first largest video game publisher in the world. They're based in the US. I was with them for a period of 7 years, and I was in their online division. So it's very similar to what I'm doing currently.
Now we've got some questions here from private investors submitted delight, David. So let's start off with them. And the first question is, do MySquared have any partnerships with local operators like pre-installing MyChat on phones?
We've explored free data deals with operators in the past. For instance, installing MyChat and being able to use it at no cost. So we had a very successful campaign with Ooredoo last year for exactly that, for a free data deal. And we always welcome the possibility of doing future deals like this again, because it actually worked quite well for us.
Yeah, cool. So answer is yes to that. Okay, next question is, would MySquared consider looking into virtual reality in any form? I know it's a hot sector at the moment. Are you looking at that area?
Yeah, of course. I think, for mobile gaming, the options there are quite limited. But I don't know if you've heard about the Google VR Cardboard project, for instance.
Yes, well, I'm invested in it, sort of a small VR sort of company. So I keep up to date. I tried to on VR things. So I know a little bit about it. Yeah, but go on. Carry on. Sorry.
So essentially, the VR headset is made of cardboard. So you can imagine the cost is very low. I tried it myself. It was very fun. The other types of VR expenses are more geared toward PC and console gaming. So they tend to be very expensive. So at this juncture, our focus has been exclusively on mobile gaming. So should there be a good opportunity to explore that's based on the Google VR cardboard technology, then by all means, we'd love to have a VR game.
Yeah, and I suppose by keeping options open, isn't it? Because it's a very growing fast sector. Okay, next question is, it's sort of related. Are MySquared looking into introducing AR games, augmented reality games like Pokemon Go?
Of course, yeah. I mean, as a game publisher, we would never exclude the possibility of an AR game. And we're always on the lookout for the next big hit. If there were such an opportunity to explore, then absolutely, why not?
Yeah. Okay, next question. Are the government providing incentives or generally supportive of MySquared, or is the regulatory side difficult to manage?
I think the regulatory side in any country requires proper evaluation. However, the Myanmar government has been very business friendly. And in addition, now that President Obama has stated that the U.S. is going to lift sanctions, it's really the ideal time for foreign investment.
Yeah, okay. Next question. Will MySquare solely focus on Myanmar, or would it look to replicate its success in another country?
Well, the experience that we gained in Myanmar, we think could be put to good use in other emerging markets. There's no question about that. And as such, we're definitely looking into the idea of replicating our success in other emerging markets in the future in Southeast Asia. At this juncture, though, we're quite busy with Myanmar alone, which in itself represents an enormous and untapped market.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've got a sort of unique opportunity there, haven't you? You've got a sort of foothold in the market there, and grabbing land there, you know, is very important. Okay, next question is there a high barrier of entry for MySquare's business?
Well, based on our experience, we think that the biggest hurdle is acquiring the experience necessary in understanding what works and what doesn't work in Myanmar. I think that for us, it's the most important one.
Yeah. Okay. And next question. Would any local foreign ownership rules prevent an approach by a digital major such as like Google?
No, we really don't think so. I mean, we're seeing no indication that Myanmar has any interest whatsoever in mobile app censorship the way China does, for example. So far, Myanmar has been very consistent. And we see, for instance, high-ranking government officials rely on the internet for communicating with the public. In addition, as you know, Aung San Suu Kyi has stated that her government wants and will encourage foreign investment into Myanmar. So for us, that's really not a risk.
Yeah. And just a question from me, curiosity-wise, is things like Facebook available over there and Twitter?
Of course, yeah, and they always have it. Okay. I would say that Facebook is available. Twitter, no one seems to know what Twitter is in Myanmar.
Okay, all right.
Whatever trend.
All right.
But there hasn't been any censorship of existing sort of Western applications, popular applications.
Okay. So next question is: in terms of endgame, are you looking at a takeover? If so, what sort of time frame?
That's an easy question. So I would say that as any startup would want to, of course, it's part of it's in our list of options, shall I say.
Yeah, exactly. I suppose, if Google or Facebook came along and offered you a big wad of cash.
Yeah, we're not going to say no.
Exactly. All right, marvelous. So next question. What would they see as their biggest potential revenue stream? Is it VOIP? Can you explain actually what that is? Because some people don't know what it is. MyPay or gaming, or would it be linked to advertising across its product base? So can you explain, is it voice over, what does that stand for?
Voice over IP, correct. So we're currently sort of in a stage of developing a new product, which will allow people to call to and from Myanmar with a very high quality audio and at a very affordable rate. And to answer your other questions in terms of the biggest potential revenue stream, well, I mean, so both the VoIP app and the games offer consumer services that require access to mobile payment because they're paid features. So consumers need to be able to purchase them. And as you know, mobile payment in Myanmar, or may not know, is quite limited in the country. So we think that introducing more mobile payment options will definitely increase the revenue potential of our apps with a greater profit margin.
Yeah. And at the moment, I know MyFish has been launched, doing very well. It had 1.5 million registered users in 5 weeks since its release. Mm-hmm. And you've got, Hawk Hero. Is that out yet?
It is. It has been out for a couple of weeks now, and it's doing exceedingly well. We so far it looks as though it's doing even better than MyFish in terms of performance. So we're pretty happy with it.
Excellent stuff. All right. Well, listen. If anyone needs any further reminding of why they should add you to their Vox Markets watchlist, David, can you give us like three reasons why someone should click that follow button on your page on Vox Markets?
Sure. So in no particular order, I think the first one is we have a very strong management team. Our company has demonstrated its ability to perform with consistency against the strategy we set out to achieve 3 years ago. And I think that shows that we have a good management team in place, capable of steering the company in the right direction. So that's the first one. The second one is, Myanmar consumers want our products. And then that's a statement easy to make given the popularity of our products. And it's just literally flying off the shelves, and we're not doing much marketing push for it either. So, you know, these products are being consumed without much work being done. I think it's clear that the Myanmar market has very high demand for the type of offering we have. So that's the second reason.
Yeah.
And then I think the third reason is Myanmar as a country continues to go in the right direction. We think that every indicator points to a market that is ripe. And a lot of the pieces that we've been waiting for are now falling in place. Politically, the country is going in the right direction. And the U.S. is indicating its willingness, as I mentioned earlier, to ease the remaining sanctions. And then economically, Myanmar continues to have a very strong GDP growth. I think that is the third reason, really. Myanmar is ready. Our products are popular, and we have a really good team.
Yeah, and of course, I mentioned Eric last time. If you've got a product that's very popular, then it's very easy to market off the back of that, isn't it? Because people liking that product will just be introduced to the next product. It almost doesn't work for you, doesn't it? Yeah. Okay, well, David, thank you very much for coming on the podcast. Nice to chat to you, and hopefully we'll chat again very soon.
Sounds good. Thank you for having me.
Okay, here are the top five most followed companies on the Vox Markets website in the last 24 hours. They are at five. It's been there for a while. Sepura. SEPU at 4. Virtual Reality Guys, EVRH Holdings there, or ticker is EVRH. At 3, new entry. I've seen a bit of chatter about this. eServe Global. Do you know what? I invested in eServe Global years and years ago, and they never seem to deliver on the promise. Maybe they're changing the direction now. At 2, ever popular, hopefully on the podcast tomorrow, CloudTag, CTAG, and at 1, brand new number 1. There's a bit of chatter about this on the social media boards there. Clontarf Energy, CLON. Do some research, check it out. You can see this week's most followed companies at voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. And that's obviously companies that have been followed consistently the last 7 days. All right, the most liked RNS on the Vox Markets website this morning is Proxarma's new contract, PROX. Have a read up on it. And by far the most disliked RNS this morning was Extract Resources, XTR, their strategic review at the Topeka mine there. Not very good, pretty much shutting it down or getting out. All right, today's suggested one for your watch list is Adgorithms, ADGO is ticker, submitted by Johnny. Now, what does the company do? It runs a software service, software platform that enables advertisers to target online advertising using artificial intelligence techniques for more accurate targeting of ads. So it's a very hot sector, isn't it? You know, first and foremost, that's what I thought. How many shares does the company have in issue? 61 million or 61.6 million. What's the current price of market cap? It's now 20 pence, market cap 12.34 million. What revenue and profit and loss did the company generate? H1 2016 revenues is $8.7 million, EBITDA loss of $2.7 million. How much cash or debt does the company have? This is what's interesting. They have net cash of $21.5 million. Or $28 million, £21.5 million, no debt. Now, their revenue has gone down. I did check them out. The revenue's gone down, but it looks like they're addressing that. Now, if they address that, you think, well, they've got good turnover there. They've got plenty of cash. That's what I'm thinking. But have they addressed that turndown? I think the revenue went down from 12-something million to 8.7 million. So there's obviously a reduction in revenue, and you should read that up on that. But nevertheless, very interesting company, you know? All right, list three reasons why people should put this company on their Vox Markets watch list. At one, market cap is substantially less than cash value. It's around about 35 pence a share of cash. At the moment, it's 20 pence a share. At two, management have substantial stakes. Founding CEO still owns 47% of the shares. And three, hugely scalable platform using algorithms to determine ad placement capable of being rolled out to many users without subsequent increase in the company's cost base. You've got to say that's a very hot sector. And I know they're doing a sort of strategy update and review there, so it's worth checking out. I'd say definitely one to put on your watch list for reviewing anyway, and maybe put some price alerts on it. So there's Adgorithms, ADGO, suggested by Johnny. Thank you very much for that, Johnny. And this is the kind of thing I like. You know, this is why this feature is here, because you get guys, you know, crowdsourcing information is by far the best way. And I would never have heard of this company if it wasn't for Johnny. So thank you very much. And if you know of a company that you think should be on other people's watch lists, please go to voxmarkets.co.uk/blog. Click the link there. It takes 5 minutes to fill the form, and I will be featuring it on a future podcast. Thank you very much for listening. Muchos apreciados.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.